Tonight, I want you to go ahead and take your Bibles, and kind of got off to a late start here tonight, so I really want you to focus on prayer tonight. So I want to make sure that I don't go too long on this, but we'll take a little bit of time here in God's Word tonight. Let's have prayer. We'll get right into it. Father, I thank you for the privilege of holding this book in my hand. I thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to carry a Bible through these doors. Thank you, Lord, that we're not like some nations just reading of what has happened there in the Far East, where Bible apps have been taken off the internet so that people who once had access to the Bible through the internet no longer have it. We still do. So we're grateful for this book. We're grateful for the freedom that you've given us to read it and study it and live it. And I ask, Lord, you be pleased to bless what is done here in this time of study. In Jesus' name, amen. Our world is constantly changing, is it not? So rapidly. I mean, with every passing year, more and more change. The change that I speak of, though, is not change for good. It's not change that produces great benefits. It's not change that gives us better security. It is certainly not giving us a brighter hope. But the change I'm going to speak about tonight is of a continual decline in our morals. There's a continual departure from the Word of God. And you've heard the term used, a state of flux. And that's exactly where we are at tonight, in the church, in the nation, and in the world. And even within the church of the living God, what's going on is not necessarily good. We hope it will be for good. I just heard a report last week that there is the thought that one-third of the people who attended church before COVID will never step foot in church again. One-third. I think it was one-third or one-fourth. Now, time will tell, but if that is true, there's a revealing going on. And when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? You know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There is change going on. And I think it could be defined in a verse that's found in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. You can look at that verse with me. We're going to be bouncing around through some different passages. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. This is not the only place that references these words, but this may be the first reference to it. And you notice the beginning of the verse says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. So I was looking last night at some news reports and came across an article concerning a politician. I can't remember if it was Finland or one of the Nordic countries, and this politician apparently is a Christian. And there's a woman who made a tweet. Oh, that still sounds strange to me. She must have a Twitter account to tweet. So she tweeted some Bible verses, and she was arrested and, I believe, imprisoned for simply stating the truth that the Bible says, and it was considered there in that country hate speech. Last week, you may have noticed this happened during our missions conference, a pastor in England, a 71-year-old pastor, street preaching. How many have ever street preached? Now that, for a man, that'll put hair on your chest, won't it? You know, downtown Atlanta, up in Canton, Ohio, we used to street preach. Small border towns down at Georgia, Southern Georgia, South Carolina border, street preaching and stuff. That's unique. And so here he is, he's street preaching in some English city, and he quoted from Genesis chapter 1, the passage where it says, "A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And he's referencing marriage being between a man and a woman, and someone who heard him ran down the street and grabbed a bobby or a police officer and brought the officer back, and they proceeded to arrest him and put him in jail overnight. Why? Because he simply quoted the word of God, and somebody went down and said this guy is talking homophobic talk, hate speech. In Canada, it is illegal to preach against certain things, whether it's transgenderism or homosexuality, whatever it may be. It's illegal. You cannot do that there without penalty. The Equality Act is halfway through Congress. Hopefully it will stop with the Senate, but that will pretty much guarantee that churches are no longer allowed to do those things here in the United States. What am I saying? There's change going on, right? Woohoo, we love change, right? I don't love that kind of change. But those are the kind of changes that are coming where we now call evil good and good evil. We're replacing the things of light with the things of darkness and calling the darkness light. That's what we're doing in our culture and literally doing it around the world. So in the middle of all this change is one who is constant. There is one that is true. There is one that is sure. Malachi chapter 3, the first part of verse 6 says this: For I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. And he hasn't changed his views on sin. He hasn't changed his word, nor will it ever change. I mean, that's the character of God. He does not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there are those who try to convince you that things have changed, that the mean-spirited, angry Jehovah God of the Old Testament, who poured out wrath and judgment upon people, that all changed with the age of grace and the love and the gentleness of Jesus, who said, neither do I condemn thee. There are those within Christianity who would try to convince you that what we see in the Old Testament was not what we have today. And I would tell you that is false. God has not changed. God has not changed his mind on sin. It doesn't matter if it's the sin of lying, or the sin of stealing, or the sin of adultery. It doesn't matter. God has not changed. Our society has changed. We don't condemn adultery. We condone adultery. Now you can go and find dating sites in which you can have a discreet affair as a married person. We condone it. God condemns it. And just because of the age of grace, because of the age of the New Testament, God has not changed. The wrath of God has not changed. He still hates those things. He still condemns those things, and they will always be condemned. But here's what happened with the age of grace. Another man stepped onto the scene and directed all the wrath of God and all the anger of God upon himself. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. God has not changed. The God of the Old Testament is still the same God today. He still hates sin. Do you and I understand that? Or have we in this modern society bought into that devilish lie? These things are okay. These things are all right. Remember what Jesus said to the woman taken adultery: neither do I condemn thee. But we also forget what he said: go and do what? Sin no more. There's a reason he didn't condemn her, because John chapter 3 says you're condemned already. Can I tell you, every person born in sin is already condemned. They don't have to wait for condemnation. No one waits for condemnation. We're already condemned in our sin. But Jesus came along and took the condemnation, took the wrath of his Father, bore it in himself, and paid our sin debt in full. So let's get this straight. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. His hatred of sin has never changed. But what is so magnified, and I praise the Lord for this, is his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever anyone believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm grateful for that reality. I think another way to define this unchangeable, immutable character of God would be to use this one word: faithful. Faithful. The word faithful means true. The word faithful means sure. The word faithful means steadfast. He'll never change. He is faithful. In the Old Testament, the attitude of faithful means to be steadfast, of long continuance. He does not change. He is faithful in his character. He is faithful in his attributes. He is faithful in his dealings with men. And those things never, ever change. Aren't you glad in the midst of all the change is a God who changes not? Aren't you glad that you have a God who is faithful, sure, true, and steadfast? And brother, we need some things to anchor our souls in this day and age, because we're not getting into it from society. I mean, I'm not trying to get into this controversy about the virus, but let's be honest. At the beginning of the virus, Dr. Fauci says you don't need masks. They won't help you. And now, even if you're vaccinated, you've had both vaccinations, you can't even go outside without the mask. You talk about change. I'm glad I got something that steadies me. I'm glad I got a sure anchor of the soul. A God who is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this: God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're told that God is faithful, and he has called you and me, those of us who are born again, unto the fellowship of his Son. And that is so unchangeable, so immutable, so faithful that we're told, in fact, it was mentioned here. Brother Mock mentioned this verse in one of his messages last week, Romans 11:29. There it says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I'll never forget, Nick, you and I were out door knocking up here, and that guy who was one time a pastor was kind of jawing with you and talking. You remember that? And he quoted that verse. And this minister just happened to be from a denomination that believes you can lose your salvation. But he quoted Romans 11:29, the gifts and callings of God without repentance. I thought the irony of that, that here's a man who doesn't believe you can keep your salvation, but he quotes a verse that definitely tells us God is unchangeable once you're saved. God is faithful, who by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son. Talking about salvation. And he tells us in Romans, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God won't change. Listen, God won't change his mind about your salvation. I'm grateful. I'm grateful he'll never change. He's unchangeable. He's immutable. He's faithful. He's sure. He's steadfast about this thought of salvation. He's given you a gift, and he won't repent. He won't change his mind. That's what the word repentance really in basic terms means, a change of mind. He won't change his mind about that. Brother, if you've been saved, you're saved. You say, but I feel lost. It doesn't matter how I feel. It only matters what the truth is. His word doesn't change. The efforts to change his word have been evident, but his word never truly changes. How about 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it. God says, I'll be faithful to deliver you from temptation. Now, there has to be a willingness on my part to escape temptation, but he's willing. Let's take, for instance, Achan. They cross over Jordan and they head toward Jericho, and God, with no uncertain terms, tells every Jew, when you go in here, this is my tithe. I believe, I may be incorrect in this, but I believe there were 10 major cities that the Israelites would conquer. The first tenth was basically God's tithe. You take nothing from this city. Everything that's precious in it will go into my treasury for my house. Don't take anything. Not gold, not silver, anything. It belongs to me. When you go to the next city, Gibeah or Gibeon or Ai or any of those other cities, you can have at it. But this first city is mine. Take nothing. Achan went, and after the walls collapsed and they went in there and finished the job, the Bible says he saw some Babylonian garments, saw some wedges of gold and some other precious things. And what did he do? Coveted. He saw it. He coveted. He took it. At any one of those steps, he could have escaped, because God always gives you a way to escape. Always gives you a way to escape temptation. God hasn't changed. Achan chose not to take that way, and it cost him his life. It cost him his family's life. It cost Israel God's judgment. But the reality is, God is always faithful to you to give you a way of escape from temptation. He's a faithful God. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You realize God has never called you to anything that God will not equip you to do the task. If it's parenting, God will equip you. If it's a career change, God will equip you. If it's pastoring a church or being a missionary to a foreign field, God will equip you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, I want you to notice something. This speaks, I think, really more towards salvation. But go back with me to 1 Thessalonians, and I want you to look at the previous verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you. Now notice this. Who also will do it. Who will keep you preserved, body, soul, and spirit? Yourself by your own efforts? No. He will. And he does not change. He is faithful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says this, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And that word evil also carries with it the attitude of the evil one, Satan. Who will protect you? He will. There's nothing that can ever happen to you that is not allowed by God's providence. Very case in point, a great example is Job. I just finished reading the book of Job today. I really don't like reading the book of Job. But it's in there for a reason. Because sometimes God's going to let some of us go through Job experiences. And God allows nothing to happen to you that in which he is not providentially allowing in your life. And he has a purpose for it, no matter what it is. Whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's the loss of a job, whatever it may be. There are things that God allows that he intends to use for his purposes. And let me put it this way. It's for his purposes, and it may not always be pleasing to you. And you may not always have the answer this side of eternity, but there are reasons that God does what he does. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." God's faithful that promised. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, we're told this, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So what are the things that God has promised? First and foremost, he's promised to give us eternal life. God says, if I've promised to give you eternal life, I won't lie. I'm not lying to you. I mean it. You have eternal life. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall" what? What? "Never perish. Neither shall any man take them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than I, can't pluck him out of his hand either." And we're told he's faithful. And if he's made a promise, he's going to fulfill it. So how long should I wait for the promise? Well, with salvation, it's instantaneous. But there's some other promises in which we have to learn to just by faith wait on him. Now, here's a problem with our faith. Well, let me change that. Here's a problem with my faith. Sometimes I say I believe him, but my actions and my attitudes prove I really don't. Because I worry and I doubt and I second guess and I question. If I really believe God and I took what he said to be true, he's faithful that promised, and he cannot lie if he's giving you a promise, then I would say, it doesn't matter how long I wait, I know it's done. That's why we're told in the book of Philippians that we're to pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God with what? An attitude of thanksgiving. Why? Because you're saying, God, I just want you to know I believe you. So God, whether you provide this today, next week, or 10 years from now, I believe you. I just believe you. You're faithful to that promise. You cannot lie. You're a faithful God. You're sure. You're steadfast. You're true. You cannot go against your word. You are who you are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is a tremendous verse. I hope it helps. 2 Timothy 2:13. "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Have you ever been in that first part of that verse? I have. There are times where I've not believed him. But the reality is, he still abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. So even when we falter at times, he cannot deny himself. Even when at times over the years past, I have doubted my salvation. That doesn't change. When I've doubted answers to prayer, that hasn't changed anything. He's faithful. See, here's a reality tonight. I'm going to start out talking about change and the detrimental change that's befalling our society and our communities and even our churches at times. The problem isn't God. Now listen to me. The problem isn't God. He hasn't changed. Sometimes the problem is me, because I change. I get suckered in by society, and I begin to second guess God's word. Did God really mean that? Yea, hath God said? Oh, who said that? Oh, Satan to Eve. Yea, hath God said? You realize Satan is still doing that, and sometimes he even does it to me. And there's a lot of believers that Satan has been whispering, "Yea, hath God said?" I change. I become unsure. I become unfaithful. But God needs people who will choose to remain faithful in an ever-changing world. Folks, I'm challenging you tonight to remain sure, steadfast, true to what you, the day you got saved, said you believe, and not change, and not quit, and not falter, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are fast, we are on the fast track to judgment. Fast track to judgment in this nation. And things are not going to get better. I do not believe. I think things are going to get worse. There may be some lulls. We may see in 2022 a little bit of a surge with Republicans stemming back the tide of this liberal, leftist, socialistic deluge that our country's going through. But it'll just be temporary, I believe. I believe we're in big trouble. What God needs is people who aren't going to change. They're going to remain faithful to Him. When you think about people in Scripture, and I'll just give you a few instances before we close here tonight. And when they were challenged themselves to be faithful, their circumstances were not circumstances of ease. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, you can look there quickly if you want. Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. In verse 11, it speaks about a woman named Sarah. And it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And she was delivered of a child when she was past age. Now listen to these words. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you realize we constantly judge things? We judge whether it's better for me to turn to the left or turn to the right when I come to a certain intersection. Going to the left may make my path home a little bit longer, but it might be safer. If I go to the right, it may be shorter, but there's a lot more curves and windiness that way, and it may be a little more problematic getting home. I make a judgment. You know, I've said silly things like, you know, we make judgments every morning we get up. Are we going to brush our teeth or not? It's a pain to brush your teeth. It is. It's a pain to comb your hair. It's a pain to put on deodorant. And all this kind of, you know, it's just, you know, like when you just rather just get up and go, you know? But you make a judgment. Do I want to go and embarrass myself? Do I want to smell bad all day and have people avoid me? You know, you say that's silly. Well, it is silly, but it's still a judgment, is it not? We make choices, judgments. And here's Sarah. And her circumstance, listen to me, her circumstances were not always good. She had a husband who at times showed cowardness. You tell those guys down in Egypt and you tell those boys over in Philistia that you're my sister because I don't want to die for you. So they want to take you. That's okay. I just don't want to die. Like, ladies, Mother's Day is coming up. Can you imagine your husband saying that? Her circumstances are not always easy. She too was aware of the promise that God was going to give Abraham a son. A promise made, I think, at age 65 that did not occur until he was 99 or 100 years of age. She too had to learn to wait, and there were times where her faith was challenged. Her circumstances weren't always good. Being uprooted from her family and all that she knew in Ur, going to a place called Canaan where she knew absolutely no one, her circumstances were not always easy. But what did she do? She judged God faithful. You know what? I think God means what He says, so I'm going to believe Him. What I'm saying to you, this woman who judged God faithful herself had to act in an attitude of faithfulness toward Him. God, I choose to believe You. I choose to be faithful to You. And what did God do? He put her in the Hall of Fame. He put her in the Hall of Fame. She's one of the heroes. Listen, guys, this woman is one of the heroes of the faith. That's not my opinion. That's God's opinion. She's one of the heroes of the faith. She ranks up there with David and Abraham and Moses and Noah. She's a woman of faith, and she was faithful. Sure, steadfast, true to believe her God. Now, when circumstances get rough for you in your home life, circumstances get rough when you are transferred to a state far away and you weren't expecting this to happen, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? I got challenged by our guest speaker this week. The last day we went out for lunch together, he started questioning me about some things in my life. He challenged me in the area of faith. Are you willing to obey God? Are you willing to do whatever He tells you to do? It's like, am I really willing? to just be obedient to Him, no matter what He tells me. Folks, in these changing times, it's good to latch on to a God who never changes. It's good to latch on to a God who's faithful, sure, true, steadfast. But God needs a people who are sure, true, and steadfast, who in a sense are unchangeable and faithful toward Him. I'll give you one more and then we'll stop. I know it's getting late. God does not call us to faithfulness because it's easy to walk in faithfulness. He calls us to faithfulness in the midst of ever-changing, continual decline in our morals. As we depart from God, God wants us to be faithful. And you get a glimpse of this in the book of Revelation. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and then we'll stop. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. That is a word I do not like. I do not like the word suffer. Now here's what I found myself doing. I find myself saying, God, I suffered as a child. My family has done some suffering in early years of our family life. God, I don't want to suffer anymore. And you know what, folks? That is wrong. It's not my job to dictate to God. It's not your job to dictate to God. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, like that 71-year-old English street preacher and that Nordic woman politician, just for being faithful to God. Or like James Coates in Canada, because he simply obeyed God and got thrown into prison in solitary confinement. And then after he got out, they barbed wired his church so nobody could enter it in. And now they have an underground church in Canada, literally. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou, what's the next word?
Faithful.
To what?
Death.
God expects you and me to be faithful till the day we die. Whether it's by martyrdom or just by natural causes, God says, if I don't come back and you go the way of all the earth, I want you to be faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found brilliant? No. That a man be found talented? No. That a man be found witty? No. That a man be found what?
Faithful.
So in the midst of a changing world, latch on to the God who's faithful, steadfast, sure, true. And as you latch on to Him, you be faithful to Him, steadfast, sure, true. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is that your heart tonight? Is that my heart tonight? I need this challenge as much or more than you do. Because things are changing. Ever changing. And we need to be steady and constant and sure. Let's pray. Father, pray take what we've heard tonight and use it for good. Use it to strengthen us. And Lord, to be honest, if I would be dead wrong and in 2 years' time everything turns and things go back to what we would call a normal and things seem very good, Lord, that'd be great. I certainly would not decline that, but no matter what the conditions, good or bad, Lord, help us to walk in faithfulness toward You as You are faithful to us. Lord, encourage us toward this. It's required in stewards. Stewards. We're Your servants. Help us to act like it. Help us to live like it. Servants. We don't call the shots, You do. And You teach us as Your servants to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. Faithful to believe Your word. Faithful to believe You. Faithful, Lord, to walk in pleasing to you. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you go to prayer tonight, just really want you to concentrate, if you would, on the situation there that I mentioned with the Johnny and Emily, and then with the Michael Shaver. If you would really pray for him, God would do just really manifest himself in a very special way. There is a picture, guys, of a man who is suffering and is remaining faithful. He has not been deterred from fulfilling his call to Iceland. He is bound and determined to go. And some other men have had to step in and say, Michael, you need to slow down. You need to grieve a little bit. You need to slow down. So pray for those folks, especially tonight as we go to prayer. All right.